I wonder, I spoke a bit earlier on when the kids were in, what are you scared of? You scared of spiders? My sister's terrified of monkeys. I didn't realize this, and I nearly booked her in to go to Trentham Gardens for the monkey forest. I was just about to take her there, and she goes, Jim, I'm terrified, you can't take me there. Some of you might be scared of dogs. Some of you might be scared of people. Some of you might be terrified of your partner's cooking, and you don't want to eat it. You think, oh no, I can't do it. And I was thinking this week, what are some unusual phobias and fears? So I looked out at some of these phobias. And the first phobia, some of you, if you have teenagers, you'll know what this is. Ablutiophobia, which is the fear of washing or bathing. And then you've got barophobia. This is a genuine condition. If you suffer from it, I don't mean to tease you, but you're scared of gravity. I'm wondering how you get over that one. I don't know what you do there. You've got the geriophobia, the fear of growing old. Some of you might be a bit late to be scared of that. Some of you, you might be approaching that and getting scared. This is one. I was a youth pastor for 7 years. Still terrifies me now. Ephebiophobia, fear of teenagers. And the one that applies to me most in my life is the soccerophobia, the fear of the parents-in-laws. Does any other bloke suffer from that condition? Yeah, you're not saying it because your wife's next to you, and that's why. I know the real reasons. You know, and it's different people. We're all scared of different things, aren't we? We're all scared of something. I think even the toughest person has fears. You know, fear gets us at different times. And it's not nice for those of us who've experienced fear that goes on and on. It's not a nice thing to be gripped by fear and to have fear go on and on and on. And I'm a person who's a warrior. I don't know if anyone else is a warrior here, but I worry. I can worry over anything. And I try not to worry, but if something changes, I'm a very organized person. If something gets knocked out, I go, I'm trying to work out how to get around it. Some of you think, you're strange. Other ones of you, you know what I'm talking about. And all of us can live in fear sometimes. And we all worry about stuff. And it's not nice to live in proper fear. I'm not talking about like an adrenaline rush fear of jumping out an airplane with a parachute on. I'm talking about fear that goes on and on and on and on, that seems to grip you, even though you know, in your own common sense, that maybe you shouldn't be scared of what you're scared of. And you know what? When fear gets into our soul, when fear spreads down to us and it grips us completely, that's when we start having problems. That's when our relationship with God moves from where it should be. And as a Christian, I read the Bible. And if you look through the Bible, constantly it says this, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. I heard one preacher say 365 fear, do not fears in the Bible, one for every day. There's actually more, there's 400 and something do not fears in the Bible. Because it's really important, the Bible keeps saying to us, don't be scared, don't fear. So when we get scared, what happens to our bodies is we go through, flick back here. We go through a lot of different reactions. First thing that happens to us is our heart rate and our blood pressure increases. The next thing that happens is our pupils dilate so we can take in as much light as possible. The veins in our skin start to constrict and send more blood to the major muscle groups and organs in our body. Our blood glucose level increases so we can either fight or run. Our muscles tense up and we're energized by adrenaline and glucose. Our non-essential systems, like our digestion system and our immune system, shut down and allow more energy to go to the emergency functions in our body. And we have trouble facing small tasks, because all our body does is when we get really stressed and scared is our body focuses on what's directly in front of us. I hope I've got that right. If there's any medical experts here, I apologize if I got it wrong. Wikipedia is always truthful. That's why I copied it off there. I'm only joking, don't worry. But you know what the problem is? When we stay in this state of fear for a long time, it causes problems. That's when we have problems in our lives. And that's when stress kicks in and anxiety kicks in. And in the moment, sociologists are telling us, in our society, across every age group, stress and anxiety is more prevalent now than it's been at any other time, they reckon. And we just seems to be a stressed out generation, across the generations, a stressed out time. And Craig Groeschel, one of my favorite authors, says this. He says, fear, genuine fear, can come into four categories. The first thing is fear. We can be scared of loss, scared of losing things, scared of losing our jobs, scared of losing our spouse, scared of losing our children. Fear of rejection. Pretty much most of us will know what this is like. You know when you go into a room and you don't want to meet new people because you're scared they're going to reject you? You know, I hate going to meetings. My wife always tells me, Jim, you're okay. Be confident. Go into it. And I'm always hiding in the meeting. Oh, no. What if they don't like me? I feel like sometimes as a kid, you feel like that, don't you? You have to break through it. Fear of death. Some of you might be here today and death scares you, even though you're a Christian. And the fear of the unknown. Fear of what's tomorrow going to hold. And these are the four main categories that fear comes into. And then when I look through the Bible, I see, great, as a Christian, I think to myself, you know, I shouldn't be scared because the Bible says all the way through, do not fear. Here's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And I read that, and when I'm going through a time when I'm scared, when I'm terrified, I'm thinking, God, but you've told me I need to be like this. Does this make me a really bad Christian? I was in a great job. For those of you who know Silverdale Elam Church down the road, I was youth pastor there. I was getting paid a good salary every month. Any problems, I turned around, what Tom can enjoy. I used to say, go and see the senior pastor. He can sort it out. And then I became a lead pastor at Burslem. And I was suddenly scared. I was 3 days into the job. They often say, pastors, they get 3 years into the job and they start having a breakdown. I heard one pastor of a very successful church in down in London. He said, I got 3 months in. I was very early. I was 3 days into the job. And fear gripped me. And I was, oh, what have I done? I put my family, income on the line. I've done all this stuff. Oh, Jim, what have you done? And I went and I looked at this verse. And I went, God's given me a spirit of fear and timidity. Being a good Pentecostal, I prayed fear and timidity out of my life. But I was still terrified. I was still absolutely terrified. I'd stepped out to trust God. The fear still gripped me. And I thought, am I doing this right? Should I be scared? Because God keeps telling me not to be scared. And I used this verse to whack myself over my head all the time, saying, come on, Jim. God hasn't called you to be scared. God's called you to be confident. He says here, I've not given you a spirit of fear and timidity. But you know the thing I've realized since that moment is every Christian goes through a time, however strong you think your faith are, there is times when you get scared, when you get worried, when you think, can I really do it? Can I do it? And you might not, it might just be the fear of rejection. There's some stuff we all go through. And I look through the Bible and I see that God doesn't want us to be gripped by fear. It's not what he wants for our lives. So I want to do a bit of Bible exploring. You okay? We're going to go through the Bible, flick through a few verses and see what it has to say. The first verse here is Psalm 34, verse 4. And this is David, King David, in a really bad place. And he says this. He said, I prayed to the Lord. He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And when I looked at this first read, I thought, whoa, this is simple. If I want to get rid of my fear, first thing, all I've got to do is pray. Poof, look, this is what it says. But I thought, is that what it really means? I've investigated this little verse. And this word prayed, it means so much more than prayed. It's actually dawash, the way you pronounce it. It's a Hebrew word. And this Hebrew word means care about, consult, sort, inquire, study, and investigate. And the way it says this is, David didn't just say a little prayer to God and say, God, please, please, could you take away my fear? Thank you. Amen. And walk away. It says, if I read this verse and I read this word, this original Hebrew word here, David sought, he inquired, he studied, he investigated. You know, when I first became pastor of Burslem, when I was terrified and I sat there, actually, I didn't know what to do when fear gripped me. What do I do? What common sense thing do I do? And the thing that I did that helped me was I got on my knees and I prayed. And I happen to fast because I like, I don't like fasting because I like my food, as you can see. But I fasted and I seeked God that day. I sought God. And it was incredible because the more I sought God, the more I prayed, the more I studied the Bible, the more I meditated on His word, the more God took away my fear. And this is incredible, this word here, this Dawash. I think it's the Amplified version that puts it like this. It says, I sought, I inquired of the Lord and required of Him, of necessity, on the authority of His word. You know, David went in. He remembered what God had done in the past. He wouldn't have had a nice, neat Bible like us, but he would have learned the scrolls. He would have learned the Old Testament. He would have learned who God is. Then the next bit says, yes, David prayed, he sought God, he studied, he investigated. The next thing he did, in verse 4, the word freed is navel, which means this. It means rescued, saved, snatched away, and pulled out. And I love this, because David here is saying, I prayed, I called out to God, and he snatched me from my fears. And this word navel has been used a few more times in the Old Testament. And every time that it's used, it's talking about God rescuing someone from their enemies. God snatching them away from something that they were facing. So when you read this verse slightly differently, it's David saying, I prayed. I really sought God. I investigated him. I tried to find out who he was. And as I did this, he answered me and he rescued me. It wasn't just he freed me, but he sort of, God reached down. He grabbed and he pulled me out of my situation. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a time when I'm worried, when I'm scared, when I don't know what to do, that's what I want God to do for me. Anyone else feel that way? A few of you do, yeah. This is what I want. And this is what David said, but I love it, that David didn't just say a simple little prayer. He chased after God. He wanted God to come and turn around his situation. The problem with me and the problem with all of us, according to the science, is when we get scared, our body doesn't look at the big picture. Our body just focuses on what we have in front of us and what we have to deal with. And we don't look at the bigger picture. I don't know if any of you watch Neighbours. I used to watch Neighbours. Please forgive me for my sins there. And there was this Catholic priest on Neighbours for a while. Father Tom, I think he was called. I remember there was a circumstance and someone went missing and they're searching for this little boy because this little boy had gone missing. And this Catholic priest turns around in the show and he turns around to the character, Susan Kennedy. And he says, Susan, don't you think now would be a good time for us to pray? And she goes, Tom, do the praying some other time. Now we've just got to search. And you know, isn't that Christians sometimes? When we face situations that scare us, that affect us, when true fear gets us, sometimes we put prayer and seeking God to the side. And we just face the problem that's in front of us. And David here, he sort of says, it's good just sometimes just to slow down, to stop, to come before God, to pray to him, to call out to him and say, God, just please help me. And spend some time away from your situation, just seeking God. And I just want to very quickly look at this and look at a character in the Bible who put this into place. And as Keith read earlier from Matthew 14, I want to look at how Peter put this into action. You see, Peter, the story that was read earlier, it starts with the disciples. They're in the Sea of Galilee. They're about just under a mile out into the sea. It's about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the water's coming in. The waves are starting to build. They must have been tired from a busy day. And worry gripped them. And in the midst, so they're a bit scared because the boat's rocking. Anyone knows me, I hate boats, and I don't know how they would have felt at the time. And then all of a sudden, in this big storm, they see someone walking to them on the water. Now, I don't know how you'd feel. You're battling the waves. You're tired at 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. You're out in the middle of the sea, about a mile out, and suddenly a figure comes walking to you in your water. I tell you what, I would be absolutely terrified. Okay, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, great, it might be Jesus. I'd be going, what is going on? And you know when you're tired? I know when I'm trying to deal with my daughter when she's awake early morning, you don't think properly, do you? And I can imagine fear gripped them. In fact, the Bible actually says fear gripped them. They were tired. And as Jesus approaches them, he says this to them. What is it? Spoke to them saying, take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. Now, if I'm out on the sea in the middle of the morning and a figure walks to me on water and says to me, don't be afraid, what's the first thing I'm going to do? Be afraid. But there's more to this verse 27 than meets the eye here. Let's get my face up here again. It's incredible. Because Jesus says here, take courage, I am. Read that bit in the Matthew there. It says, but instantly he spoke to them, saying to them, take courage, I am. Now some versions translate that as, take courage, I am with you. But the exact translation says, take courage, I am. Now if you know your Old Testament, you'll know something there. Because in the Old Testament, when Moses had a burning bush talk to him, when God spoke to him through the burning bush, he said to God, who do I tell people you are? And God turned around and said this, tell them that I am. In the midst of their storm, in the midst of everything that they were going through, Jesus comes and says, I am. Take courage. It's like Jesus came to them in the middle of their fear, and he says to them, I am God. Take courage. Don't be scared. I am. And I think that's incredible. You know, all of a sudden, this story would start to make sense. You know what, Peter? He would have learnt about the story of Moses and the burning bush when they learnt at the Passover. He'd know this story so much about God being called I am. So when Jesus says, I am, it wasn't a random thing to Peter. It was something that he understood. The reason he understood it is from a young age, he would have been taught to memorize the scriptures. He would have been taught to learn the scriptures. If he hadn't sought God, if he hadn't read the scriptures, if he hadn't learned who God was, he wouldn't have known what Jesus was talking about when Jesus came to him and said, I am. Take courage. Don't be afraid. You know what? He'd obviously learned. He'd done his darash. He'd inquired. He'd investigated God. He knew who God was. He knew who the I am was. He knew that God was I am. He knew that God was the I am who pulled the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He knew that God was the I am who took the Israelites through the desert and gave them food when they were going hungry. He knew that God was the I am who took them across the Red Sea when they faced the Red Sea and the Egyptians were coming in to attack them. He knew that God was the I am who helped them cross the Jordan River. You know, Peter would know this. So when Jesus says, I am, he's like, wow, this is encouraging. Take courage, because I am. I am with you. And I believe God just wants to say to us when we're in our situation of fear, I am with you. I am beside you. I've got things in control. I am the God who freed the Israelites from Egypt. I am the God who helped my people cross the Red Sea and the River Jordan. I am the God who healed the lepers. I am the God who provided the Israelites for the Israelites in the desert. And when we spend time seeking God, we realize that he is the great I am. We realize that he is the one who is greater than our fears. He's the one who David sought and helped him. And when we start to realize that, we start to realize that God is I am, and I am not. And when I go through fear, I remember that I am not able to help myself get out of that situation often. But God is. God says, I am. I am not, but I know I am. You know, in my life, I'm not able to stop myself being rejected. I'm not able to control the unknown. I'm not fully able to stop myself from losing everything. But it doesn't matter, because I am with me through every circumstance. I am's with me. You know, Peter, when he heard those words of Jesus, he knew who Jesus was, and he stepped out on the river. And he wouldn't see Galilee, and he walked towards Jesus. Now, I haven't shared this with anyone else, so it's a bit personal. You know, 3 months ago, we lost my wife's mum, and she was ill with cancer for a while. But we got told she had maybe a week or two to live, and it was very sudden. And in the midst of it, emotions went through me, went through my head, went through my wife's head, went through all of our family's heads. fear grips. You know when you hear that news? Fear just grips you. And I read a different version. I know about the story, and I've understood these verses for a while. But in the midst of it, we were doing reading through Mark in the Bible and in our church. And I was at the Bible study in the morning, and I hadn't read my chapter from Mark, but I opened up the Bible, and it was the story from Mark. And in the midst of it, I saw this. He worried with fear, what's going to happen? What's happening? How's she going to get worse? How's she going to deteriorate? And fear was really gripping us as a family. And in the midst of this, I saw those words again. Jesus saying, I am with you. I am with you. And I'm not talking about this from a great theological perspective of this is what the Bible says. Great, we need to put it into practice. I'm talking to you guys today as a person who's put this into practice all through his life. I tried to do this. But in particular, recently we put it into practice. And you know what the great thing is I've learned? Is at times I struggled. And when my wife's mother died, I turned around and I went, God, what do I do? I actually remember sitting in bed and I just went, God, can you please help me? Because I'm scared. How do I help her through the circumstance? I'm a bloke. If anyone knows a bloke, I'm a South African, brought up in South Africa. We're taught not to cry and show our emotions. We're taught to push through. And my wife's a very emotional lady and I'm there going, God, seriously, I need help. I'm an insensitive bloke. I need to know how to help her. And I was scared. How can I give her the right help that I need to give her? And I reached out and I cried out to God and proper tears down my cheek. And I said, God, I'm scared right now. I don't know how I'm going to get through this to help my wife. But I know you're God. And I know what you can't do, what I can't do, you can do through me. You know what is amazing? Because I can't quite describe it. In the midst of that fear, in the midst of that unknown of what's going to happen, God gave me a greater love for my wife than he's ever given me before. God gave me more patience than he's ever given me before. And God helped me. And what I learned is when I was going through fear, when I was scared, sometimes I can't do things. Sometimes I had to learn, I'm a bloke, I like to fix things. I couldn't fix everything. Sometimes I had to learn to look to God and say, God, in the midst of my fear, in the midst of what I'm going through right now, in the midst of my stress and my anxiety, you're my only hope to get me through this. And the incredible thing was, God pulled me through. God pulled all of us through. Still a long, ongoing journey. But God is there. You know, it's strange. Peter trusted Jesus to help him walk on water. But then all of a sudden it says, Peter then, he took his eyes off Jesus. And he started looking down at the sea. And when he started looking at the waves, as the waves came over, he started to sink again. Jesus reached out to pick him up. You know, when we're going through a stressful time, when we're going through a fearful time, the way our body reacts is to shut us down, as I said earlier, and to focus on what's in front of us. And sometimes we don't focus on the bigger picture. But when we're going through a time when we are scared, when we're going through a time when we are scared of what we're facing, and it could be genuine fear, it might be the fear of losing a job, a fear of losing a loved one, the fear of a marriage disintegrating, we need to look to God. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and not on the situation. Because when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we learn to trust the great I am. We learn to trust the great one who freed us, who went and died for us on the cross. You see, God doesn't want us to be scared. He doesn't want us to fear. And he says, you need to learn to trust me. Like Archie and Alfie tried to, not Archie, I've got my name, Louis, tried to trust Tom. We need to learn to trust God through those times. And I just want to finish reading 1 John 4 verse 16. And it says this. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with the confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows we have not fully experienced is perfect love. You know, the more you are filled with God's love, the more you seek God, the more you spend with God, the more you pray out to Him, the more you get filled. The more love, where I look at it, the more love I have in my life of God, the less fear I have in my life of God. And I just want to encourage us now, in a moment, just to spend a moment. What are you most fearful of? What are you most scared of at the moment? You don't have to tell everyone, this is between you and God. Because the thing that you're most scared of is often the thing that you trust God least with. The thing that you're most scared of is often the thing that you trust God least with. Are you scared of how your kids are going to grow up? Are you scared they're going to be naughty little kids? Is it genuine fear that you might lose someone close to you? Is it fear that your work situation is going really bad and you're scared to go to work tomorrow? Is it fear because you've got a big decision to make and you just don't know what to do? You don't know the unknown for tomorrow? Whatever your fear is today, I'd encourage you to bring it to God. To give it to God now and say, God, this is what I'm going through. But don't just say, that's it today, and leave and walk out and say, that's it, I'm going, I prayed, God's going to sort it out. He might sort it out, great. But I'd encourage you to spend some time with your biggest fears. Seek God. Read the Bible about it. Pray about it. Meditate on some of these passages that I've shared today. Spend some time looking at it and say, God, I know that I'm not. I am not, but I know you are. I am not, but I know I am. Let's pray.